The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kitzer Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Rafael Schneider.
We're up to Simin Kuf Tes Zayin. 116, Sif Zion, paragraph number 7. The Kitzer Shulchan Aruch starts. Kalim shehichzik behen yayin sarif akim, vessels that one held in them spirits in order to maintain them there for a while, for a period of time. Ein tam v'reach hayein saraf niflat ayidei agala. One cannot extract the flavor nor the scent of the yayin saraf, of these spirits, through hagala alone, through using one of the methods of purging, removing the bits, the small parts of the Yain Saraf, the small parts of the alcohol from the container. That doesn't help in this case. Rak im bishul isam hetev b'mayim im efer. The only way one can remove the taste and the flavor, the flavoring and the scent of this alcohol is by cooking it up well in water together with ashes. Now the question is obvious. Normally the halacha is that if something of a food item only received the smell of the scent of something that is prohibited, then that food item does not become not kosher. It remains permitted. So why over here are we so careful that the vessel cannot have the scent of this alcohol on Pesach? The Marshag answers that this is only because of a special chumrah, a special stringency that we treat chametz on Pesach with. But really, the normal law is, the normal din is, that we're not careful with the scent of something that's prohibited. But we're extra scrupulous and we're extra stringent when it comes to Pesach, when it comes to chametz on Pesach. The Elif HaShleima, the Shleima Kluger, writes that a silver cup that a person drinks alcohol in it, you could do normal hagalah. You can purge it in a normal way. Because a person doesn't store the alcohol in it. He only puts it in there for a short period of time before he drinks it. So therefore, he doesn't have to worry that perhaps the flavor and the scent will remain locked inside his kli. Continues the Kitzer. So a person has to boil it up, has to cook it up with ashes, water and ashes. Ad shenistalik memareach legamri, until the scent is totally removed from the vessel. Ma'ilohem achar kach hagala. And then one could do the normal method of purging, the normal method of what we call kashering, with like we do with other vessels. The Mishnah Brura brings down that only if the vessel is such that one can clean it out well before the hagala, before the purging. Otherwise, if there are little parts that you can't reach, or if there's a narrow neck, so therefore you can't get away with just doing Haggadah. because first you have to make sure it's completely clean. The Aruch HaShulchan brings down something very interesting, that if a person did not use this vessel for the Yayin Saraf for the last 12 months, then Hagalah would help and we're allowed to treat it like all other kelim, all other vessels. Continues the Kitzer. Ches, number 8. Hagalah sachovis yaseh b'derech zeh. If a person wants to do Hagalah, he would like to purge, clean out from his barrel any chometz that might be inside, he should do it in the following fashion. Yilabin avonim, he should heat up stones. V'yisimein ba, and he should put it inside the barrel. V'yara lehem mayim reizcha, and then pour on top of these hot, boiling hot rocks, hot water. Mikli rishayin, from a vessel that just came off of the fire. V'yigalge elas achavis, and he should turn the barrel, kidei shagia hagalah chol mokim, in order that the hagalah, this process of making the barrel kosher, touches every part of the inside of the vessel. V'achavis shalonu shehenasuyin mikama dapim, and our vessel, our barrels that are made from several pieces of wood, mechubarim b'chashukim, that are attached with clasps, im amar b'hen chometz gegonya in saraf, if chometz stood in them, for example, this yein saraf, these spirits, this alcohol, ay shehechsek b'hen kemach, or one stored in it flour, lo mahani lohu agala, then the purging process does not help for them. We're concerned that in the cracks, in these areas, you really won't be able to remove the chometz, and therefore, the purging is only meant to remove that which is contained inside the walls of the vessel. But that which is on the surface, it's insufficient just to do the hagalah, to do the purging. And therefore, if one can't clean the outside, can't clean the inside, then the Hagalah process is not permitted. Sif test. Kol davar shetzarech Hagalah. Anything that requires purging, le'mahana le'klifo. A person cannot simply rely on removing the outer layer of the vessel. And therefore, one would assume that they've also removed the chometz that has been absorbed inside the kli, inside the vessel. Eladavka hagala. One must do purging. Why? Because we don't just assume the chometz went into the outermost layer of the vessel, but over a period of time, we have to be cautious and concerned that the chometz was absorbed completely inside the entire thickness of the kli, and therefore just to scrape away the outermost layer of the vessel will be insufficient. Yud. Kol kli, she eshlon akaisle hetiv. Any vessel is impossible to clean it well. It's going on nafe, b'chishrechayim, a sieve or a sifter, or the receptacle used in grinding, b'chin salim, shemishdav shen chometz, and so too, sacks that one uses for chometz, b'chin ribaizen, and so too a grater, b'chin kli shepiv tzar, and so too a vessel that its mouth is very narrow, and it's impossible to rub it inside. So one cannot know that they removed all the chametz be'en, all the actual chametz from inside the kli. Oishesh leikonim, it has narrow pipes. Leimahana lahagala. Hagala, purging, cannot help, because purging is meant to remove the chametz inside the walls of the kli, the vessel, not that's on the surface of the vessel. Now, if a person used this grater on Erev Pesach, really, one could assume that whatever chametz was there became batel, became nullified in 60 times the amount. But since we're concerned that perhaps a piece of chametz remained behind and is still there on Pesach, then, or there's actual a piece of chametz that's sitting, it's not just something that's batel, but an actual piece of chametz is there, so we're concerned that perhaps this little bit will be reawakened. Well, during Pesach, the bittel will not help anymore. Bittel only helps on the nullification of the chametz, only helps if it's what we call a lach balach, something that's either a liquid or so minute it's like a liquid. But if it's actual a piece, there's actually something there, then it becomes, we'll call it, reawakened on Pesach. The bittel doesn't help anymore, and it actually makes the entire everything that's together with it prohibited, even if there's the smallest amount. So therefore, one cannot use this ribeisen, and even something that perhaps you're concerned a piece is still left over will disqualify the entire food item. Now, if a person used this grater to grate horseradish grain, and inside the horseradish, the flavor of the chametz may have been absorbed. So this is not an actual piece. This is only the flavoring of the chametz, which would go inside the pieces of horseradish. And since, if a person did it before Pesach, if he ground it up on Erev Pesach, it would only be flavor in inside the pieces of horseradish. One could actually use that horseradish on Pesach. We wouldn't say Chayzer Maniyah. We wouldn't say that the chametz is reawakened and prohibits even the smallest minute amount. Rather, if it was already disqualified, it was nullified in 60 times the amount, then one could rely on that throughout Pesach. So again, only if there's a concern of there's an actual piece of chametz, that's a problem. Even if you did the grating on Erev Pesach, before Pesach, it would be reawakened. But if it's only the flavoring of chametz, once you did it before Pesach, you'd be able to use that ground material even on the Yontif, even during Pesach. Yud Aleph, number 11. Hatevais, the boxes or containers, shematzniyim hem ha'cholin kol hashana, that one stores, one hides in them food items the entire year, ulefamim, and from time to time, nishbach sham marak min hakederes, there's spilled out from it soup or the like from pots. So tzrich and hechsher kal, one has to do a light kind of kashering, a light kind of cleaning process. The hainu, this is, shema'arin alein reiskin, one pours on it boiling hot water, v'davka mitoich hakli, sheritzichu boi as hamayim. A person should only use a kli, the actual kli rishain, that one heated up, boiled up the water in it. For lo yizrk as hamayim, don't just throw the water down, rather, ele yishvachem aleim bikiluach. One should make sure that one pours on it with a flow, a continuous flow that's coming from this kli rishon. What about a fridge? In our day and age, we use refrigerators as our storage containers, particularly for pots and soups and things of the sort. So since it's not normal for a person to put in hot, boiling hot soup inside a fridge that's still in its original kli rishon, normally a person allows it to cool down before putting it inside. One would not have to do this. It would really be sufficient to just do a good scrubbing. Some have a custom to cover the area of the fridge, but that min hadin, according to the letter of the law, one would only have to scrub the fridge very well. Continues the Kitzer, Vashulchonis and tables. Noigin gam kein lelaben avonim. The custom is also to heat up the stone, umanichen al hashulchan, and then one would place it on the table. V'shoifchin aleihem roizchin, and one would pour out boiling hot water on top of the stone, almost recreating a kli rishon on the fire, almost recreating as if the actual pot, the water, is actually on the fire. Because when you pour the water from the kli, from the vessel, onto the hot rock, which is sitting on this counter, on this table, it's as if the table itself is like a place of boiling water. And one moves the stone from place to place, in such a manner that the boiling water goes on the entire surface. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that we don't have to be so zealous. He doesn't feel the need to be so, so careful in this. Because, in general, if a person would pour boiling hot water and it would ruin the table, so then one does not have to do this. It's only an extra. And the truth is, if it's a table that gets ruined with hot water, then a person, in other words, a person wouldn't even have to be concerned that boiling hot items were put on it. If it's a nicely colored table, a stained table, a table that has some sort of design on it that would be destroyed, would be ruined and tainted if one put on liquids on it, so probably no one used that table for boiling hot liquids. No one would put such a hot pot on such a table straight. And therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, not only do you not have to put the stone on it, but perhaps one would not even have to pour at all on these tables with the boiling hot water. Rather, just make sure that they're clean. And that would be sufficient. Continues the Kitzer. And one has to rub them down well beforehand. And after one already waited 24 hours before doing this kashering, then one is permitted to kasher. Because the halacha is that we do not do kashering in general. We try our best to avoid if the food is still has good flavor in it. But once it's already has lost its flavor, and it's only the Rabbanan that prohibited it, so we're more comfortable doing this kashering and other kinds of kashering, and we'll discuss it a little bit later on in the Siman, only once that 24-hour period has elapsed. Nonetheless, some of the custom shaloyli shtamish gam acher hechsher b'shulchanos v'teves, that not to use even after one has kashered the table, even when after one has kashered the food storage container, ella b'prisus mapa, unless one first puts down some sort of tablecloth or cloth or covering, or something else of the sort. This is only a type of table, the Mishnah Berurah writes, that one has to be concerned that you couldn't get very, very clean. For example, it's made of several parts. But if it's completely made of one material, then a person doesn't have to be so, so zealous. Although it is customary, nonetheless, if one kashered the counter, nonetheless, to put something down. Certainly, if one is not able to kasher the counter, for example, it's made of materials today that one is not sure if it was able to kasher it, certain kinds of plastics and the like. So therefore, one would have to be very careful and make sure to put down some sort of surface, some sort of material, as to not to put any of the Pesach kelim or Pesach foods straight onto the surface. Yud veiz, yudais hakelim, the handles of vessels. Sichum gav kehechsher. Also, one has to make them kosher. If one cannot fit them inside the pot that one does the kashering in, sometimes the handle is a long handle and it doesn't fit inside the kashering pot. One can make kosher the handle simply by pouring what we call irui kli rishon, pouring on the hot water directly on it. And the thinking is like this, that if we're concerned that the handle absorbed the chametz, not directly, but rather through the main vessel, that the liquid, the chametz, may have come into the handle via the original kli, so then we could also assume it will go out through the original kli. And if something sprayed on it, something spritzed on it while you were cooking, so then it could also be brought out through pouring on from the kli rishon, and one does not actually have to make sure that it's inside the kashering pot. However, if one knows that the handle was in fact inside a pot, inside a kli rishon that was sitting on the fire, one has to be scrupulous. One has to be meticulous and make sure that the kashering is done inside the actual kashering pot. Continues the Kitzer, Yud Gimel 13. Kol Kali Shesia, any vessel used for drinking, Ukli Amidais, any vessel used for measuring, Tzrichin Gamkein Hagala, they also have to be cleansed through Hagala, through purging. Even though most of the time one uses this vessel with cold liquids, and cold liquids do not become absorbed, are not absorbed inside the walls of the kli, but sometimes we're concerned that one may have used it for hot, and therefore one has to do kashering over here. One must kasher it in the normal way. However, b'di'eved, in the case where it's impossible for some reason, it's enough, a vessel that's used for cold, one can rely on shifshuf adacha, one can rely on rubbing it out, rubbing it, scrubbing it, and rinsing it out. Continues the Kitzer, uklei zechuchis, glass vessels, noigim medinas elu, to lo mahani lehuagala. It's the custom in our country not to rely on hagala for this. We'll assume that the hagala process, the kashering process of purging in the normal way, will not help. Why is this? And why is it a machlaikas? Why is it a... there are a difference of opinion. The Kitzer writes that it's our custom not to rely on it. It sounds like there are those that have the custom to rely on Hagala for glass vessels. So the Gemara says, and the Pais can bring down, that some say that glass is smooth and doesn't absorb. Like it's called Shivalei Bali. And others say that it does absorb since it's made from sand. So it has a quality of sand that it absorbs and it doesn't come out. So we're not sure how to deal with glass vessels. Do we look at it as something that the Gemara calls Shivalei Bali? Or do we look at it as something that comes from the sand, and therefore, once it's absorbed, it cannot be brought out, it cannot be extracted through the regular process of Hagala. Continues the Kitzer. The chain, klimatachai, so too metal vessels. Shehein mutachim b'fnim behita zuchuchis, that on the inside there's a surface, it's heated on a surface of glass inside the metal container. Ein lehem takana ba'agola. Again, one cannot rely on fixing them and making them kosher through hagala. Avol sagi lehu believe in kal k'may medaycha b'sivav. But just like a mortar, you could use levin kal, the lighter form of levin that's hot enough to burn a piece of straw or a tissue on the outside, using a fire, so too one could, for this vessel, also rely on levin. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring this down, but it's an interesting leniency that the Kitzer mentions. How about in our day and age when we have plastic? Can a person kasher plastic? Can he make it kasher? Diane Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchak, says that Hagala does help. But if a person used it inside an actual klirishayin, inside an actual vessel that was on the fire, then perhaps to kasher it inside such a vessel, a person might not be comfortable doing it, because he might ruin his plastic, and therefore a person could be concerned. So you have to know how you use the plastic. Was it something that you just use not on the fire, not inside the original Kli Rishon, inside the vessel that was on the fire? Or was it something you stored, something that you poured out from the Kli Rishon? There is really a difference of opinion, and others hold differently. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that a person should not do Hagala on plastic for Pesach, though he seems to be okay with doing Hagala during the rest of the year if something not kosher fell into it or something of the like. One could rely on Hagala for plastic. Rav Yashiv says that maybe a person should not rely on Hagala on the purging of plastic kalim in general. However, when it comes to meat and milk, and this kalim, this vessel, has not been used within the last 24 hours, there is a method of actually kashering. He's comfortable relying on Hagala, and if a person does it three times on the fire, then a person could rely on Hagala on the purging process for plastic. In general, Rabbi Yashiv is more hesitant. Diane Weiss seems to be okay with it as long as it wasn't actually used in a Kli Rishon, in the original vessel on the fire. And Rabbi Moshe Feinstein distinguishes between Pesach and the rest of the year. Pesach were more strict, then the rest of the year is more lenient. Continues the Kitzer, Yudala, number 14. Ein magilin ela v'mayim. Where do you do Hagala? With what kind of liquid? Says the Kitzer, only with water. Why? What's so special about water? Water has the best strength in halacha. In the eyes of the Torah, it has the greatest ability to pull out, to extract the chametz, or in other cases, the thing that's not kosher, from the walls of the kli. And that's why we're told that mayim is best, water is best. How about steam, which originates from water? Rav Moshe Feinstein says one can rely on steam. There are those that argue, the Yad Yitzchak, the Beis Shleima. However, the Beis Shleima writes that if it became not kosher through steam, then you could use steam to make it kosher. But if it became not kosher some other way, then steam could not be used. So a person has to ask a question. He has to turn to an authority and ask if such a thing would come up, can he use steam as a method of kashering, as a method of making it kosher? Continues the kitzur, v'lo yehei b'mishum tarovis. It can't have anything mixed into the water. It's pure water. Not filu efer v'chadayme. Even efer, even ashes, even some sort of soap, it's best not to have anything inside the water. The Rama writes that if b'dieved, a person did already or doesn't have a choice, other liquids also will help. But Ramesha says that if a person is not clear if this vessel needs kashering or not, so then a person could use other liquids. Because really, many of the Rishonim, many of the medieval commentators and medieval halachic authorities were okay with using other liquids. It's just we're strict in general. So the Rama says, b'dieved, it works. And Ramesha says it works on something you're not sure if it actually requires kashering. It's very interesting. A machine that's used for chocolate, if a person would kasher it using water, it would ruin the next batch of chocolate. So therefore, since it's impossible to make this apparatus kosher by using water, some halachic authorities hold that one can make the apparatus kosher by using other chocolate. That's called being machsher with shar mashkin, with other liquids. So it is very pertinent, even in our time. Continues the kitzer, im higil harbe chelim b'yayra, if somebody purged many vessels inside a large basin, until the water became murky and it looked like a brine, it did no longer look like water. One should not and cannot further do hagala in that liquid. And some hold, if you do, then even b'dieved, even if it was done, it does not work, and you have to go back and do it again. This is the Prichodesh, the Mati Yehuda. A person has to be very careful not to overuse the yaira, overuse the basin, or to change the water so that one does not run into such a problem. Test Vav 15. Im magil aide tzvas, or tzeves, if a person uses tongs to hold the kli while doing hagala, while doing this kashering, shemachzik ba zakeli, one holds with it the vessel, tzarech l'rapoy sezakli v'lachzol l'tofsay. A person should let loose of the vessel for a little bit and then to grab it again. In like Cain, if one doesn't do it, harei levo meimi ha'golav v'makam ha'tzeves. So then the waters of the hagala, the waters that were supposed to purge the chametz, never reached in that exact spot where one was holding it with the tongs. It's best to put the kli in some sort of netting, or in some sort of sack. When one is doing the kashering, do not put many vessels at one time inside the basin that he's doing the hagal in it, or they shouldn't touch each other. The in came, because if they do touch each other, we're concerned the hagala will not help, will not work in the place that they are touching each other. So even though the Mishnah says when it comes to being toivel them, when it comes to immersing them in mikvah, just because the kelim are touching each other does not disqualify the immersion. When it comes to hagala, when it comes to the purging, we're more concerned, and therefore we're extra careful that the kalim should not touch each other during the kashering process, or at least they should be separated for a period of time so that the hot water reaches every spot on the kli. Tez Zion 16. Ein lahagil ela kli she'ena ben yayma. Like we mentioned earlier, one should not do hagala only on a kli, only on a vessel that has not been used that day in the last 24 hours. Dainuk shekvar over me'is leis. A 24-hour period already has passed. Mishah shebishlu v'chametz, from the time one cooked up in it chametz. V'chein hayayra, and so too the large basin shemagilin ba, that one is doing the hagal in it, lois tehei v'asyayma, also should not be a vessel that was used in the last 24 hours. V'yashkiach, and one should be careful. Shebechol pav shenayisin es hakli l'sech hayayra, that any time he puts a vessel inside the basin, Yalu amayim resichais, the water should still be bubbling. Vintzarech lahagel asayira, and if a person actually has to kasher, he has to do agala on the basin that he's making the other kalim kasher in, right? The large pot that sits on the stove. If one has to do agala on that, azai kishamayim alam resichais. When the water at that time is bubbling and the pot is full, one should then toss inside this large pot boiling hot rocks in order that the hot water, the bubbling, boiling water, should overflow onto the surface, onto the lip of the pot, and kasher even that. Our custom is that in general, we always do hagalah, we always do a kashering on the yaira, on the large pot, before we begin hagalah, even if one used it before for hagalah. And it should be, it should also be an Eina Ben Yayma. A vessel that was not used in the last 24 hours. Or we even used it for Kalim that were not a Ben Yayma. I'm sorry. Even if it was used for Kalim that were not a Ben Yayma, still the custom is to kasher it. Also, a person should be careful that there's 60 times in the large pot more than the kalim that he is kashering. And that's a little bit challenging sometimes when a person does the kashering in a city, not just privately. So he has to make sure that there are more than 60 times the amount. There's 60 times the amount, all the kalim of the city inside that one container. Continues the Kitzer. Ve'ein lahagil rak al chatzei sayayim. On Erev Pesach, on the day before Pesach, one should preferably only do the agala until midday. Now really, we're careful not to eat chametz until the end, only at the end of the fourth hour. So maybe there's room to even be more strict than chatzais. Some still say you could rely on chatzais, and now that you even have to be stricter, like we are, not eating all the way from the fourth hour and on, after the fourth hour. But if one needs to, one could still do agala later on in the day, but make sure, the ikar adin, for the letter of the law, that there's 60 times the keli inside the water. If the kli has been used in the last 24 hours, or that the kli should very well be, and also the yaira should be, also the big pot should be kalim that were not used in the last 24 hours. So make sure, mi'ikra adin, according to the letter of law, either that there's 60 times the amount inside the kli, 60 times in the large pot, the kli, the vessel that one wants the kasher, or make sure that they are vessels that have not been used in the last 24 hours. Yud Zayin, 17. Noigin sha'achar agala shaitvin as a kelim mayim karim. It's customary that after one does the kashering, one rinses the vessel in cold water. And the reason is that the hot water that one kashered in shouldn't then sit on the surface and go back in. Remember, that water has in it little bits of chametz that were pulled out from the vessels that were made kosher in it. So that little bit of chametz could come back inside the kli. So by quickly rinsing it out of the water, you don't allow that to happen. But since we are careful, like we said, not to kasher, our custom is not to kasher, unless the vessel has not been used in 24 hours, really, one does not have to be so careful about this. It's only customary. And the truth is, we also have 60 times. Whatever chametz was there already became batel, already came nullified. And therefore, one does not really, mi'ikra adin, according to the letter of the law, be concerned with this. However, the custom is to still be careful and still to rinse off, nonetheless, the keli that has been kashered in cold water, even today. Yirches, in Efsher, if at all possible, yesh lahagil pnei val toira haboki b'dini hagola. One should only do the purging in front of somebody who's steeped in Torah, who's an expert in the laws of Hagola. There are questions that come up, and therefore, if you have the opportunity to do the Hagola in front of somebody who's well-versed in law, one should try to do that. Okay, that's the end of Kuf Tazayin.